We got a birthday today for Elle DeBarge. The singers from the family group DeBarge. I don't know how they came up with the name. Born on this day back in 1961. 59 years old today. And the big one, 17 on the charts back in 1983. I'm sorry, number... Rhythm of the Night. That's what we hear here. That's the big one from Elle DeBarge. And birthday today, 59 years old. That screams 80s all over it, doesn't it? Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. Thanks so much for joining us. We are talking on the phone lines right now with Dr. Ann Hendershot, professor of sociology at Franciscan University, and a piece up at the American Spectator, spectator.org, denying rioter demographics to shape the political narrative. Dr. Hendershot, thanks for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Hi, I'm happy to be on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on. Minnesota, of course, is where the epicenter of this, the protests and later the rioting and the looting began. And immediately afterwards, we heard from Minnesota officials trying to deflect the blame away from, from Minnesotans, but also from what they could see in front of their own eyes, putting the blame on white outsiders doing this damage to the community. The data does not back this up.
No, it doesn't. And right now, I've just done some preliminary analysis of the data in Minnesota, and I'm working on it for New York and other big cities. It doesn't back up those politicians' claims. I mean, I had to laugh when the mayor of St. Paul said that every person arrested in the Minneapolis protest was from out of state, not a single person. And then the governor said that 80% of those arrested, he just made that up, were those from out of state or out of the area. And the governor went even further and made a preposterous claim saying that white supremacists were behind the rioting. I mean, with no data and no evidence, and we saw these riots, it didn't look like a lot of white supremacists looting and rioting. So I just wanted to find some data, and I decided to write the article. Even though I don't have final data for all the states, the preliminary data on arrest, and that's public information. Anybody can go to the site. You would think the governor's staff would have somebody who would know how to get government data. But I think his 80%, are outsiders. It served his needs, and he figured nobody would check.
This is the governor. This is the mayor. This is the attorney general, Keith Ellison. It's not just Minnesota, as you mentioned. Cleveland authorities made a similar statement, which turned out to be false. They said people outside Cleveland know it was Cleveland residents who ended up being arrested. Why would they deny or try to make this up from what we all can see in front of our own eyes?
Well, I think they know that it's an indication of the policy failures of their state and their cities is the cause for these riots. And nobody wants to go there, and I appreciate your giving me the opportunity to at least hint at it, because it's so much better to say Antifa, which I think Antifa is part of this. I'm not dumb enough to deny that. They are part of it, but they're not doing it by themselves. But deflecting the blame to others takes the blame off of their misguided policies that have been in effect for 50 years now.
Dr. Ann Hendershot is with us. Her piece at spectator.org, denying rioter demographics to shape the political narrative. Last night seemed to be temperature down a little bit. I mean, we still had issues and there was still looting in areas and riots in places and still some violence, but it seemed to be getting a little bit better. What's your take on the shape of what's happening here?
Things are improving. I'm in Connecticut right now. I teach at Steubenville at the Franciscan University in Ohio, but we have a summer place here in Connecticut, so I'm very close to New York City and know a lot of people in New York City, especially NYPD, because we have a criminal justice department, so I do keep in touch. And New York improved dramatically, but I just posted a piece at spectator.org, at the American Spectator, taking the knee in the new vanities of the bonfires, it's called, because the police there are engaged in some of this elaborate status degradation the mob is forcing the police to take a knee in support of their protest of police brutality. And the chief of police at NYPD is going along with it. And so on Sunday, he hugged the demonstrators and took the knee. And I know he's good-hearted and has their best interests at heart and his best interests at heart. But it was pretty misguided because just a few hours later, that salute to peace evaporated when they took on the Rolex store and broke into some of the most exclusive shops in Manhattan, in Midtown. But, you know, the chief of police said New York City is going to show the country how this is done. He thought that he could be nice and get along. And they're just laughing at him. This whole take a knee thing is fascinating to me. So that's why I wrote this article.
I'm glad you pointed that out. I was talking to a friend about this yesterday, and spectator.org, and it's on the left-hand column there. You can see the new one from Dr. Ann Hendershot. I don't know. I'm somewhat uncomfortable with all that. I understand de-escalating. I understand wanting to avoid violence. I understand all that, but it's the transfer of power that concerns me to give the protesters the ability to demand the kneeling, the police to acquiesce to it, and then sort of transfer that authority from the police over to the group, over to the protesters. That makes me uncomfortable.
And you're absolutely right. Your intuition is perfectly right. I mean, in any basic criminal justice course, that's the first thing they teach you, is that you don't have to be a hardline authoritarian, but you do have to have authority. And kneeling before your protesters is not really the best way to do that. Now, praying with protesters, I'm fine with that. But this is something else, raising your fist to express your displeasure about police brutality, and you're a police officer in uniform. I don't know, I find that. There's so many pictures of police officers taking a knee. I mean, looking like Colin Kaepernick, you know. I don't understand this. And a lot of NYPD police officers are not happy about this.
Yeah. Taking the knee in the new Vanity of the Bonfires. You can find it at spectator.org, spectator.org. Dr. Ann Hendershot is a professor of sociology at Franciscan University. Dr. Hendershot, thank you so much for joining us this morning here on the Steve Gruber Show. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you. Her work at spectator.org. This portion of the Steve Gruber Show is brought to you by DTE Energy, providing safe, reliable natural gas to customers across Michigan. DTE Energy, know your own power. Kathy Barnett is next, author of Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain, Being Black and Conservative in America, also running for Congress in the 4th District of Pennsylvania. We'll talk to her in just a moment. This is Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. Find me on Twitter at Scott Bertram, SteveGruber.com, or at Steve Gruber Show on Twitter for the program. More next on the Steve Gruber Show.
Planning for your future, you want an advisor who understands your Christian values. Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles offers financial planning based on biblical principles. He can help you plan for your goals in a way that is consistent with your faith. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial provides financial services without regard to religious affiliation or cultural background. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say. because if you won't, who will?
This message sponsored by OK to Say and MAB.
There are kids at some of the schools in our Greater Lansing community who are struggling with basics like food, clothing, a safe place to live. When you're worried about the basics, it's harder to learn. If you can read and write, you can help these kids, which is a tremendous investment in our community. If you've got some time and want to be a part of the solution, the Capital Area Literacy Coalition could use your help. Visit thereadingpeople.org for details. That's thereadingpeople.org for details.